help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 1029. Hymn number 1029 to Tune Maplestead 43. Hymn number 1029. Come, Saviour, quickly come. Let me but feel thee near. I may poor wanderer far from home, pursued by guilt and fear. The troubles which I meet, the evils which I feel, the miry clay that clogs my feet, entangled and I reel. Hymn number 1029 to Maple Street, 43.
Word this evening you will find in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, and we'll read two chapters, chapter 36 and chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 36 and then chapter 45. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book or a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. From the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day, a period of about 22 years. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou, and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Akbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand, and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearken not." Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. And now chapter 45. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." Let us leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may he help each one of us now to come to the throne of grace. O most holy and almighty Lord God, one that is truly holy, 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 one that knows all about us, one that knows all that is before us, one that searches the innermost thoughts of our heart and from whom nothing is concealed. We come now before thy great and holy majesty this evening, a few of us gathered together tonight. But Lord, we pray that tonight we may be able to draw near unto thee. We may be instructed through thy word tonight. We may be thankful for it, and for this time that we can have away from the scenes of this life. For we each have those busy matters to tend to in our daily life, and we sometimes can feel rushed off our feet as we gather in the week. We can have those confused minds, those heads which are thinking about so many matters. So Lord, tonight may we be able to draw near, and they will know thy sweet presence guiding and directing us in our worship tonight. So Lord, we come into this place of worship once more. And for the people here, may this be the place where thou wilt meet with them, where they will truly know thy kindness going before them. For Lord, we live in a day where there is no real desire to worship thee, where there is such a despising of the word of truth, or maybe it is not so much that, but there is just an ignorance of it and a complete apathy towards it. Well, we do not experience the hostility that many do in other lands and has been known in this land in times past. But Lord, thou hast turned the hearts of men away from that which is right, consuming themselves upon their own lusts and desiring nothing that the Bible teaches them. They see no need of who they are before thee, the Almighty God, one that is holy and just and perfect. They see nothing of their need as sinners that have fallen far short of that glory. They see nothing of their need of a Saviour that stands between, one that has washed away the sins of all thy people, one that says, come unto me, ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, there is indeed a generation, more than a generation, that are blinded. But Lord, we give thanks that thy word is the word of truth. That we have thy word, Lord, and we know that by the power of thy Spirit, thou canst work great, marvellous works in our nation and throughout the earth. Lord, we do not look to a continual decline. Lord, there may be those that will say, surely these are the last times. They are the last times, Lord. We are living in those last days, but we do not know when that last day will be. It may be many hundreds of years, many thousands of years from now, Lord, we do not know. So while we have our time upon this earth, may it be our prayerful concern to rightly serve thee. May it be our prayerful desire, Lord, to know more of thy word of truth. May it be our prayerful concern for those that live round about us, those that we meet with in our daily lives, those round about this place of worship too, that they may indeed come to know thee. And we pray for those opportunities to arise, Lord, so that there can be that spoken and that proclaimed of thy truth unto many. Lord, we are thankful where those opportunities do arise in our daily lives. And we give thanks where that grace can be given to remember, Lord, that thy people are here, there and everywhere, and we know not who they are. So Lord, may we each in that right way be thy servants and be seeking to serve thee in whichever way thou wilt lead us into. Lord, for we know that there are many in this nation who seek to pull away thy people with false truth. Lord, that which is proclaimed as truth, but that is contrary to thy word. There are those that seek to draw away so many through entertainment and through other speculative means of worship, so called. O Lord, we pray that yes, there is a need to be clear. There is a need to be concise. There is a need, Lord, to faithfully lay the word of truth before many, But Lord, the truth that is behind that, the doctrines that hold fast and have stood fast and will stand fast till the end of time, change not. So Lord, enable us to stick to those old paths of thy truth. Lord, and may we cling to them. It has cost many their lives through the centuries of this nation, those who have stood fast and have been martyred for thy truth. If those days of persecution fall upon this land, Lord, may a remnant remain still that are faithful to thy word. Oh Lord, it is so needed in our nation at this time. We see man pursuing that which is right in his own eyes in all sorts of avenues. We see the confusion it brings. Oh Lord, do appear. But Lord, may we not be over concerned and fretful about the wickedness that is in our land. Lord, may we be concerned more about the wickedness that is in our hearts. May we be more concerned about that which is within us, that is so against thy word. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt quell all that which is wrong. Thou wilt cast out those idols that we have within our hearts. And thou wilt remove that coldness, that unbelief and that pride that so quickly overpower us. And may we have that closer walk with thee in our daily lives. May we be conformed more to the image of thy dear Son by the renewing of our mind. May as we go on in life's journey, Christ be made more and more precious unto us in our lives. So that Christ may be first, Christ may be last, Christ may be all in all. Lord, may it be so. For Lord, that is what will only hold us up. A precious view, by faith, of a precious Saviour. We think of the lines of that hymn, he wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, my soul, could Jesus do? We thank thee for that merciful and faithful High Priest that we have, that one who ever lives to intercede for us, through whom now we present our prayers. And Lord, we pray that our prayers tonight may not just be words. For how much, Lord, of prayer is really the posture of prayer? The heart that is heavenward. The desires that are heavenward. The adoration that is heavenward. Lord, do we pray, set our hearts upon that one that is altogether lovely. Lord, we desire that as we come tonight, we may not just be focused on our needs, but Lord, we may rightly remember and adore thee for who thou art. Lord, we are undeserving sinners. We have, Lord, the work of redemption. There is the hope for the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. Cause us each to feel that need more continually. We pray for those that are not here tonight. Pray for those that are away in education, university, or wherever they may be tonight. Lord, do be with them. Lord, and may that help be given in study and in employment for those in that pathway. And we'll pray for the children that gather here on thy day, be with them too. And the fathers that are detained in looking after them tonight. Lord, give us much wisdom as we seek to bring up our children in that right way. Lord, enable us to help them to seek their Creator in the days of their youth. We pray that we may see that work of grace in the hearts of many of our young people. Lord, we bring before thee especially tonight James and Sam Jempson at this time of great need for them. Oh Lord, do draw so very near to them as they around the bedside of their dear son are waiting for that time when treatment will be withdrawn and he will pass from this life into eternity. Oh Lord, impress upon our minds every one of us that we are frail. And our loved ones are frail. Lord, we know not what a day will bring forth in our own lives. So help us, Lord, to bring them before Thee in prayer. May they know that peace that passeth all understanding at this time of great crisis for them. Lord, and we pray for Josh in this last stages of his life as it would appear upon this earth. Lord, he is unconscious to man, but he is not unconscious to Thee. Lord, he has heard Thy word over many, many, many years. He has heard and lived under the sound of the gospel. And even in his last hours, may he cry inwardly from his heart with that dying thief, Lord, remember me. So do remember him, we pray. Draw very near and comfort each one at this time of great grief. Lord, may none of us be untouched by these solemn events. May we never take one journey thinking that we are invincible. May we never begin one day knowing we will end it. But may we ever live looking to Thee, the Creator of our life, the Sustainer of our life, and indeed that one that will at the appointed time take our natural life. But Lord, may we have that prayer more fervently for that new life within the hearts of each one of us and our loved ones, that there may be that second birth, there may be that work of regeneration, there may be that crying out of the newborn babe in faith. Lord, save me. So work, Lord, use these means. We know, Lord, that this in itself will never save one soul and these thoughts, but cause us to ponder our end and prepare us for it. Lord, we pray for all those that have left Thy house, who see no need to gather anymore, who have gathered under the sound of the gospel. Lord, we pray that in their lives they may be brought back. Lord, that while there is breath in them, they may be drawn unto Thee. Lord, it is only Thou that canst do that work. We can be that right example. We can be a means, maybe, in one way and another. But only Thou canst open the heart to the need of Christ and the preciousness of Him. O Lord, may we love Thee more and more. For Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us in our day-to-day lives to worship the Triune God. May we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, that fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit in us more and more. Lord, may it be light and life unto us all. But Lord, as we gather now around Thy word tonight, we pray for each and every one. May we be given those ears to hear, Lord, what Thou wilt have to say to the people tonight. Help us to rightly expound the word of truth to them, Lord. In our time of need, Lord, we beg that Thou wilt draw near. So may we know, Lord, Thy presence with us. We plead for the forgiveness of our many sins, Lord, this day. And may Thou reveal them unto us more, Lord. Not that we may be bowed down under them so much that we forget to look to Thee. But that, Lord, in looking to Thee, the miracle of grace is even greater in our sight. Lord, we pray. Be with us now. Help us each. May we know, Lord, this is an appointed time from Thee. Speak, Lord. Speak indeed, by the power of Thy Spirit. And may we go home, Lord, having been bettered from our time together tonight. So forgive everything I have asked amiss. Do make up in giving where I fail. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Singing hymn number 297, 13 Houghton 808. hymn number 297. Jehovah has said, 'Tis now from record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. When faint in the way, or lifeless and cold, or sunk in dismay, and none to uphold, yet firm to his promise thy God shall abide. Her grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried.' Hymn number 297, Tatian Helton, 808.
Thank you.
Each one of us as we gather around his word this evening. I'll ask you to turn to the second chapter we read in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5. But I'll read again from verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For, behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee, for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Or that last part of that verse could read, But thy life will I give unto thee for a prize or a prey or a spoil in all places whither thou goest. The book of Jeremiah can be a very confusing book. As we read it and study it, it is a collection of writings from Jeremiah as recorded by Baruch, his scribe. We have divided simply in this book the first 24 or so chapters, Jeremiah's writings before the exile. That warning in the round about chapter 25 that the Babylonian armies will come and they will exile Israel. They will take them captive. Then in the following chapters we have the judgments that are laid out that will fall upon Israel because their leaders have rejected the one true God, their God. And then in the closing chapters from chapter really 45 onwards, the judgments that would be upon the other lands around them. And then finally, those judgments that will fall upon the land of Babylon themselves. Because the Lord will use one nation to judge another at times, but all wicked will be punished. His judgments will not be spared upon any. He will use his hand as he sees fit for his honour and glory. But the word laid upon me this evening is really about this prophet Baruch and how we can so frequently be like Baruch. And you know, it came to me as we sung that hymn and that seventh verse. This was where Baruch was, wasn't it? He'll cause thee to bring thy griefs to his throne, but answers of peace to thee shall send none. Then sorrow and sadness thy heart shall divide, because he's determined his grace shall be tried. And I believe this is where dear Baruch was. We have no doubt to believe that Baruch was a godly man. We have no doubt that Baruch desired, like Jeremiah, the turning of the nation of Israel and Judah again to the one true God. He had those right intentions. His heart was right before his Lord. And he knew what it was alongside Jeremiah to be brought so low. Jeremiah prophesied those many, many years to a nation that would not listen. Jeremiah rightly called the weeping prophet because of the amount of tears that were shed at the ignorance of the nation before him, the people, the leaders. But dear friends, we cannot say that Jeremiah was not a successful prophet. We may deem success in our day in numbers, as Jeremiah, some would have deemed his success in numbers. Oh, no one's terms, Jeremiah. You've spoken again and again and again this message. No one's turned. Where's the success? The success is in this. He did as the Lord commanded him to do. But I wanted to concentrate mainly on Baruch this evening. We read that 36th chapter together, didn't we? Where we read about Jeremiah. Had that word from the Lord. Told him to take a book and to write upon it. And he called Baruch the son of Neriah to write from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. He recorded all this. He wrote it all down. And we read how he then went into the courts of the king and read those portions unto those people and presented that word to them. But what has been laid upon me this evening is to speak about what Baruch was seeking after. We don't know exactly, do we? We have in this fifth verse, "And seekest thou great things for thyself?" This was not a word of rebuke to Baruch, it was really a word of comfort. What Baruch was seeking, the Lord in his wisdom, was not going to grant unto him. And because of that, Baruch was, as we read in verse 3, God had blocked his path, and Baruch was on his knees. Thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. The Lord had hemmed up his pathway, that which he sought after. And Baruch was questioning the Lord, why, Lord? Now added grief to my sorrow, causing me to faint, causing me to find no rest in this pathway that I am walking with Jeremiah. And you know, I do not want to enter into the realms of speculation about what it was that Baruch was seeking, because we do not know for sure. But we could probably put ourselves in Baruch's shoes. If he was that godly man, which we believe he was, surely he saw Jeremiah locked up. He saw Jeremiah shut up. He saw the needs of the people. And he had that desire to walk in the way that Jeremiah did. Maybe that was the great thing that he was looking after. But the Lord had told him to be that scribe to Jeremiah. You know, the Lord works in marvelous ways as he did in that time. Raise that man up, Jeremiah, to, as I've said already, to be, as some would say, an unsuccessful prophet. But if that wasn't there, this book wouldn't be there. Baruch wouldn't have recorded it. Baruch had his role in God's kingdom. But what about us? Do we seek great things for ourselves? What is it we are seeking after in our lives? You know, we each seek something, don't we, for us. We seek and look for, in an unconverted state, the pleasures of this life, don't we? That which we can get and gain from this world to make ourselves more comfortable. But what does the Lord tell us? Seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I don't believe this is what Balak was seeking after, but that's what we can often be seeking after, isn't it? Seekest thou great things for thyself? Be content with such things as ye have. We are the Lord's people, and that's the key point tonight for us. Are we one of the Lord's people? Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? Because if we are one of His, our Father knows what we have need of tonight. But not only tonight, for every moment of our lives. He knows what we have need of, and He knows what we have need of being removed from us. It's a comfort to the Lord's people. We may seek this, we may seek that. We may think there's an open door before us and the Lord shuts it, and we go, why, Lord? Surely this would be beneficial for me. Surely this is the right way. The Lord knows what we have need of. Naturally, and spiritually. He knows our wicked hearts. He knows how we will stray from Him. He knows how He will bring us back. It's a comfort, isn't it? The Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We mustn't seek those things, dear friends. Yes, we should take that right care for providing for our needs. But let us not be over anxious about the things of this life. What else do we read in that chapter of Luke? But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we read those words, don't we? Seek ye the kingdom of God. But there will be that time when it will be too late to seek the kingdom of God. We have been reminded in these past year or so, haven't we, of the death of one in young age and the imminent death of another connected with us in a young age. It can sometimes jolt us and should jolt us. But it cannot draw us into the kingdom. It can set our eyes there, but it cannot draw us into it. Dear friends, seek ye the kingdom of God. Seekest thou great things for thyself? That's the one thing needful tonight. That's the great thing we need. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without Him, perish must. Seekest thou great things for thyself? And in studying this word this morning, my mind went to those words in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For you know, we can often seek our own ways, can't we? But what does the Lord say? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, if you excuse me this evening, I do not very often speak personally about my own pathway. But you know, I've had to prove these verses. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I cannot go into any detail, but in the past few years I had a pathway before me. I thought it was right. I prayed over it. I saw the Lord, as I thought, open a doorway regarding it. I thought I had a word from the Lord confirming it. And yet, it's all been brought to nothing. It's all been brought to nothing. And I have had to prove painfully, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But dear friends, what does it cause us to come to? It causes us to realise that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know, we don't realise we do it, but I've done it. We look for something. We twist the word of God to suit what we want. And we do it with the best of intentions. And the Lord then says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And it brings us low. Brings us to that point of humility where we have to come in with the hymn writer. Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Cast me down and keep me low. Seeking only thee to know. And we need that weaning. I need that weaning. I don't like it, but I've had to have it. Weaned from my lordly self. Weaned from the miser's pelf. Weaned from the scorner's ways. Weaned from the lust of praise. Make me like a little child. Of my strength and wisdom spoiled. Seeing only in thy light, walking only in thy might, leaning on thy loving breast, where a weary soul may rest, feeling well the peace of God, flowing from thy precious blood. That's where Balaam was brought to, wasn't it? Had to lean on that loving breast. He was weary. The Lord had crossed his pathway, and he had indeed to prove that his life, his eternal life, his spiritual life, was that great prize. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. But dear friends, tonight, how do we know? This is what has been laid upon me regarding my own pathway. How do we know what we are seeking is right? Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? We have in the scripture what has been called the revealed will of God. We have that which is clear that we should and should not do. We have those commands that we should not break. We have those commands that we should keep. We have the revealed will of God in his word. But there is also the hidden will of God. The hidden will of God. The Bible, without being irreverent, doesn't tell us who we will marry. The Bible doesn't tell us what job and career we should pursue. It lays down guidelines. It lays down instructions. It lays down for us what we should be seeking for in a godly wife or a godly husband. It lays down what we should be seeking for in our employment and how we should work in it. But it doesn't say you should marry this person, you should work for that employer. There is that which is not revealed in his word. So how can the Lord's people know what they are seeking is right? And the Proverbs has much to say on this, doesn't it? The Proverbs has much to say on many aspects of our life. But in studying this, my thoughts went to that proverb in Proverb 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Does that help us? No, not really. Many thoughts in our own heart. But there's something confirming for us that the Lord's will be done. The counsel of the Lord, His plan, that shall stand. It will stand. It cannot be removed. And then in Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? And let us try and look at a few points tonight as to how a man can understand rightly the Lord's way and the way He is working. And firstly, there is His word, as we have said, and there is the preached word. That word that is applied with power by the Holy Spirit. That word of confirmation. Not that we grab, like I have done, and ripped out of the context of the verse and try to mould it into my desires. But where we have a word that comes with that measure of power that fits in with where we are. Sometimes it's something we don't look for. Don't want is painful. But we have to prove more and more that Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And is that what you are looking for in your daily life? Is through His word, through your private reading of it, through the preaching of it, His guidance. My thoughts go to another psalm, a psalm of David. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. That's the desire of the Lord's people. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Because the way of the wicked is to follow their own hearts, follow their own devices, to go in the way that is best, they think, for them. The Lord's word, dear friends, guides and directs. We've had to prove it, haven't we? Those of us that know the Lord, He guides in that way. And what a comfort it is when it is the case. Because we know that word doesn't change. It's the same. It changes not. But another important point, how we can know what we are seeking is right, like Barak, we must never ignore the hand of providence. I can't remember whether it was Thomas Boston or Thomas Goodwin who said something along these lines. I would rather trust the God of providence than God's word. And you may say, that sounds a very strange thing to say, and it is in a way. But what he meant by it, and I'm sure you will agree, that what he meant was right. Like I have tried to illustrate earlier, I have taken a word of God and have used it in a way that I shouldn't have done, ignorantly. But dear friends, we cannot alter God's providence. There is a great book by one of the Puritans. I think it's Flavel on the Mystery of Providence. Get it and read it. It's not a hard book to read. And it so beautifully sets out God's hand working in providence. For if God opens a door, no man can shut it. And if God shuts a door, no man can open it. It's clear. Very clear. But dear friends, that door that's opened must never contradict His word. Because if that open door is there and it goes against His word, it's a wrong door. It's a wrong door. And if ever we are in any doubt about a door in our life leading onto something, and the door seems open and we are in any uncertainty about it, we must pray, Lord, if it is not of thee, and this is what I should have done, Lord, if it is not of thee, shut the door. Shut the door. I do not want to seek something for myself that is not of thee. Lord, make me humble. Make me mild. Keep me from my pride. Lead me in that right way. Keep me looking to the hand of providence. There is his word. There is the remarkable hand of providence. And we could look at numerous examples of that in the Bible, couldn't we? And just as one that comes to mind, David. David had that right desire to build a temple for the Lord. His thoughts were there, but God's hand would not allow it. He would not cause it to come to pass. It must be his son Solomon that would build it. The hand of providence worked against him. And dear friends, another point. How can we know that our way is right? And it is that way of seeking advice, isn't it? From those whom we trust for the truth's sake. Peter, in writing, he said, didn't he? When he's writing to the elders and to the younger, he said, didn't he? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Where it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. It is not necessarily elder in age. That word is referring to the office of an elder or a bishop or a presbyteros is the word. And it is that realization that the Lord has raised up pastors or those in the ministry, those in offices in the church who we trust. They have been placed there by Almighty God, by his will. And dear friends, does their will, do their thoughts marry with ours? Are we seeing the preached word? The hand of providence, the elders exhorting and guiding, marrying together. You know, I don't want to speak personally tonight, but the amount of times I wish my dear father was still alive. And I could say, Dad, what do you think? But I never could. The amount of times I wish I could have said to Dad, what about this? What about that? Am I right in this? Am I right in that? No. Couldn't have been my father. But it doesn't mean we haven't got others we can turn to. Praise the Lord that he does raise those up near and dear to us that we can turn to in our time of need. In our time of uncertainty. You know, Baruch, maybe he did seek the advice of Jeremiah. We don't know. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. You know that evil came upon Jerusalem, didn't it? They were carried away captive. Great destruction was wrought. Horrendous scenes were seen in the cities, in the streets of that city. But dear friends, what was the Lord saying through Jeremiah to Baruch? In this last part of this verse. Yes, you sought great things. Yes, maybe you wanted to see the turning of the people. Maybe you were pleading that there would not be that time of captivity. Yes, you sought great things for the people and for yourself. Your intentions were right. But dear friends, tonight, as then, the Lord is on the throne. He's still on the throne. And although the life of Baruch may have been on a knife edge at various points, we read, thy life will I give unto thee for a prey or a prize in all places whither thou goest. It sets before us the image, doesn't it, of maybe a warrior in battle. He's got away with his life in that battle. Yes, he may have the wounds from it. Yes, he may have the cutting sores from those disappointments that he had to endure. But he had his life. His life was given to him for a prize. And you know, natural life, it is a great gift. Our God is the sustainer of life. He is the one that keeps our breath in our lungs and no one else. But dear friends, what about that spiritual life tonight? What about that spiritual life that he has given unto all his people? That, dear friends, is the greatest prize that anybody can ever have. Oh, and if we have that tonight, praise the Lord for that spiritual life. And if you are seeking that spiritual life, pray more for it. Seek it, dear soul, tonight. Seek thou great things. That's a right thing to seek for. That is a God-ordered thing to seek for in his word. Seek ye my face, he cries. Seek on. But where we have known that life, oh, if we have that life, if we have that spiritual life, it's a prize here below. It's a prize to walk near the Lord as he draws near unto us. But there is that eternal prize. There is that which is set before the Lord's people. Thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places, whither thou goest. And dear friends, tonight, if we have that prize before us, if we have that spiritual life before us, oh, we can look to those promises, can't we, in the Word of God. Hebrews 13:5 comes to mind. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's the promise that goes along with eternal life, isn't it? So that we tonight can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's how Barak could continue, couldn't he? Yes, greatly disappointed, whatever it was. Could he not say, the Lord is my helper? I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at those promises and plead those promises where the Lord crosses your path, turns your way, brings matters to confusion. And my thoughts go to the Apostle Paul, and I'm sorry for wandering around this evening. You know, he had that thorn in the flesh. He didn't want it, did he? He didn't look for it. He sought great things for himself, but that thorn in the flesh would be removed. Oh, surely that's a right thing to ask for, Paul, isn't it? Surely it's right. Can you not imagine Paul in this? Oh Lord, if thou would remove this affliction from me, I will be able to serve thee. I will be able to work far more abundantly. I will be able to write more letters, visit more churches. I will be able to do so much more. He besought the Lord that it might depart from him. He saw a great thing for himself. But he was given a greater thing. He was given sufficient grace. He was brought low and lifted up in the strength of the Lord. Oh, that's what we need, isn't it? Not necessarily what we want. But dear friends, when we're in our right place, we want the outpouring of Almighty God's grace through Christ Jesus into our souls, so that we know my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, dear friends, we may seek for this pathway to be ironed out in our life. We may seek for the other pathway to be smoothed over. But sometimes the Lord's will, like the Apostle Paul, is to keep it there. Which makes my mind go to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Going into the next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We are left to those places where we trust in ourselves. and do not trust in the Lord. But dear friends, if we leave tonight trusting in the Lord, not leaning onto our own understanding, acknowledging Him, begging Him to direct our paths, saying, Lord, speak to us through Thy Word. Speak to us through the hand of providence. Speak to us through those of the advice we dearly love and respect. Guide me on, Lord. Leave me not to myself. Be very near in all that I do. Why? Because I know how foolish I am left to myself. Oh, but above all, Lord, teach me to value the life that Thou hast given unto me through Thy dear Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Seekest Thou great things for Thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but Thy life will I give unto Thee for a prey in all places whither Thou goest. Amen.
Church Lane, 735. In number 346. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as a dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the souls He delights to defend. Hymn number 346 to the tune of Church Lane, 735.
I'm used on the
Lord, hear, Lord, we thank thee for thy word and the characters recorded in it for our instruction. For Lord, we have a pathway to walk in this life, and Lord, it is a pathway leading to a destination. Lord, we pray that we may each be made ready for that time when we leave this earth. And may we prove in the lines of that hymn, "Nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so savingly loved." Lord, if we know that life, oh, what a prize it is. What a prayer it is to set before us. Lord, what it is to hold and cling to the gift of eternal life. Lord, may we desire to know more of thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, for this is life eternal. So may that be our focus, Lord, as we go on through this journey. But Lord, we leave thy house now. We have varying matters, Lord, that we have to attend to, each and every one of us. But Lord, we would pray for those in great need once more tonight. Lord, what a thought for all of us parents here. If we had to turn off that machine of one of our children. So be very gracious to that dear family. Comfort them. And may they know a little of that peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, thou art kind. Thou art too good to be unkind. Give us faith to see it in whatever pathway we are walking in. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.